Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You know what I want.
Not Samson, Greg. Not Samson.
No, I want a top Samson.
Hey, that's very bad. 13 games in a row. I've been right here talking about a loss. The Raptors lose 135 to 120. Gets the shorthanded 76ers. There's no Embiid. There's no Maxi. There's just a hero, unsung for a time and now widely celebrated, who returned home. 11 points and 10 assists, 2 blocks and a steal. One of those, well, a couple of those being like the swipe down block type thing. The Raptors lose to Kyle Lowry's Philadelphia 76ers. Also, you get, you know, pretty good games from Cameron Payne. 24 points is a lot for him. I mean, it's a lot for a lot of players, but Cameron Payne especially. Kelly Oubre Jr., 32 points. 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Tobias Harris, 21 points on like 12 shots, 9 boards, 3 assists. I mean, even Nick Batum had 19 points off the bench. 7 of 8, 5 of 6 from downtown. Like, Kelly hit 6 of 11 from 3. Kyle was 3 of 5. Cameron Payne was 6 of 10. That's the crazy one. Nick Batum was 5 of 6. Buddy Hield, 3 of 5. That is just a regular day for him. But holy smokes. 2 former Raptors point guards. Actually, 3. Cameron Payne is a former Raptor. Kyle Lowry is the former Raptor. And Jeff Delton Jr. is a former Raptor. Death by former Raptors. Phoenix Plays E says, so the Raptors suck. Daniel Berry Sports Highlights says, happy Easter. Happy Easter, Daniel. It's, I mean, Jordan Wara had like a nice stretch in the game. He got to the front of the rim a few times. Kelly, pretty good passing game. Like the Raptors, when they made their runs in this game, and they had a couple of them, it was largely through, you know, it seems crazy to talk about the same things over and over again on these, you know, these podcasts, but the Raptors are very much playing in scheme. And when you talk about a team that like runs a ton of pick and roll, at least maybe you could focus on like who the pick and roll ball handler is and how much success they're having and what they're doing to succeed. They're running a high post offense. They're running delay action with a bunch of split action, a bunch of split cuts. And that's like, they're making back cuts. They're getting passes. They're getting like, they're coming down into the lane. If the team, the 76ers, they overplay the screen going back, they might pop open for some threes. They run handoffs. Guys come out of them. Gary Trent, more than any other player, is going to put up a shot. Grady is going to get one up. Grady hit a 3, fading to his right out of a pick-and-roll possession. But largely, these Raptors are doing the same thing every game. Delay action into Chicago. Or high post into split cut. Is somebody open down low? Make the read downhill. Is the read downhill create a response from the bottom of the defense? Yes, make the pass to the corner or go above the break. Play with advantage, 0.5 basketball, keep the offense humming. If not, option into a handoff. Work out of the handoff the same way you would a pick and roll. Try and get downhill. They hedge, you can't like turn the corner. There's not a pass, a lay down to make. Okay, pass the ball above the break and reset on the other side. Keep moving. Make the baseline cut in concert. Yes, make the baseline cut in concert with the rest of the actions. All this stuff. And the Raptors, nice to see them grind out 120 against truly an undermanned 76ers team. Pretty big game from Bruce Brown, who played out of the handoffs the best, I think, offensively I've seen in a few games. He went 3 of 4 from downtown. That's not so bad for a guy like him. That's pretty damn good. Kelly O on those like post seals where he gets the mismatch, he's able to do some damage. The cutting, a little bit of shooting, getting to the rim, 18 points, 3 steals, 11 assists, 5 boards. Maybe he's a bit like, you know, more aggressive on the rebounds. He could have got one of those vaunted triple doubles that are not nearly as vaunted these days. Javon Freeman Liberty has a great left-handed finish in traffic, in transition. That was nice to see. We're talking about a lot of the same stuff. Jalen McDaniels, -4. Grady was -14, which was the worst on the team as far as like plus minus for anybody who cares about that kind of stuff. The Raptors, they got, you know, there are quite a few players on the 76ers who know how to win. Chiefly among them, Kyle Lowry, of course, who know how to game a regular season game, get into their looks, manage pace, respond to runs, all this kind of stuff. And they had the response. The Raptors, I think they got as close as what, like 7 at the start of the fourth quarter. You know, it doesn't always just keep, you know, they're not a steamroller. It's not a boulder picking up momentum going down the hill. It's a boulder going up the hill. And the moment you stop pushing, it's coming back down on you. You know, the Raptors are Sisyphus this season anyway. I wonder if maybe like the transition or the evolution from Sisyphus and is into somebody named Scotty who can actually roll the boulder up the hill. That's kind of what we're waiting to see. But a game. Phoenix Plays E says, how do you feel about everything from the Philly perspective in terms of how legit they are if Embiid, who's coming back in 2 days, is truly healthy? Man. Also, you know, a comment here from Coco. She says, healing isn't linear. Yeah, that is very similar to my response just reading that question. Embiid is a guy who has played with like significant knee injuries during playoff series. So he was playing, but he wasn't healthy. Embiid is a guy who has played through lots of injuries. He's a guy who has had worse performances, and he's gotten criticized a lot for like shrinking in the playoffs when really he was injured. So I think based on track record, Embiid's probably coming back earlier than a lot of players would, and he's going to be a good player. You know, if they're in the play-in and Embiid is there, they're very strong there, extremely so. I mean, just like good luck handling him if he's healthy. You know, it's tough, man. You know, if Embiid is healthy, let's say he's found health isn't linear, as Coco says, but he's found like a good spot where he feels like he can do everything he wants to do on an NBA court. I feel quite good about the 76ers. Maybe not as like, I'd be pretty shocked if I saw him in the finals. Like, pretty shocked. But would I be shocked if Embiid was able to carry them into the Eastern Conference Finals? No, I don't think I would be. Because I think Embiid, when healthy, can be, like, one of 3 players in the NBA who could just, like, take a series, take another series. Just stack wins, man. You know, it's he really can reshape that team. Although, the biggest mistake Philly made was just letting Jimmy Butler go. What a bungle. What an absolute bungle, man. Because they could have been the it team, I think, anyway. They could have been the it team. Wait, it makes me look like I was shirtless under this when I was holding the mic like that. Philly I like a lot because I like Embiid a lot. But I think that they're not exactly world beaters. But they're very compelling when you have Joel Embiid. I know that's not like the best. Well, whatever. Sure. I'm sure that answer suffices, quite frankly. Taco and Nacho Battle Channel says the Easter lamb was delicious. The wine was cool. NC State were rocking. Ignoring this iteration of the Raptors is healthy. Yeah. Unfortunately for me, or actually fortunately, I don't want to be somebody who complains about their job when this is my job. I do have to watch these games, though, and talk about them. And there are less and less compelling things to talk about with this iteration of the Raptors. And there are some fun things, you know, to discuss. But this is a team that's struggling We have now, hopefully it's not 14, but 13 games in a row. Also, this isn't wood, it's plaster, so, you know, drywall. So I don't know if that knocking did any good. But, and there's not even a stud there. So where's the stud? Here's the stud. This is what we're doing on the live. We're trying to find studs in my wall. The Raptors, they're a bad team. A lot of their guys are injured. Mauricio Arenas says, when is Quickly and Barrett going to play ever again this year? I don't know. They have both had to deal with, well, just obvious. We know why, right? For RJ. Quickly stuff isn't out there, I don't think. So I don't know, because that kind of stuff, you never, especially with the position that the Raptors are in, forcing someone back could seem quite cruel and to what end. So that's kind of where we are with that. And I know they get paid and all this kind of stuff, but I will once again stress that the thought shouldn't be, why are these guys, and I know you're not saying that, Mauricio, but just for anybody listening who's like, well, they get paid to do this. If you at your own job wouldn't get paid while you mourn somebody, then that's not bad for NBA players. That's just like, we need more labor protection for you. That's my takeaway from that. So these guys, I think they should be able to take their time. I don't know how quickly they're coming back. I'm like the Raptors will let us know, if at all, whatever that ends up being. And Mauricio Arena says, how can fans watch this train wreck? There's some stuff that's fun. You can hear it in opposing broadcasts. You can hear it, you know, by people who tune in and see that, like, you know, the Raptors pass a lot. There's a lot of motion. If it's your first introduction to this style of play, it can be quite exciting to see, you know, 8 shots from Grady, 9 shots from Bruce, 8 shots from Olynyk, 11 from Javon, 6 from Kobe Simmons, 6 from McDaniels. And then obviously, like, Gary's at 20, Warr's at 18. These guys are meant to eat up some of the volume. There is, like, that egalitarian style that hopefully, you know, is able to, like, ratchet itself up and get better and better the more talented players are on the floor. As we've seen, you know, I think the Raptors are 1-14 since the pizza party, but the pizza party, it wasn't like the best teams they were playing, but you could see some of that, like RJ, Scotty, Quickly, these guys, they're playing some good hoops. Now, it wasn't perfect hoops. It wasn't hoops that made me think like, ah, they're going to like make a run at the play-in. But it would have been more compelling than everybody getting injured. Pirtle dislocated pinky. Scotty, he broke his hand right there. You can see the scar on my hand. He broke his third metacarpal. Been there, done that. It's RJ and Quickly, obviously, dealing with completely separate things. It's just like, this team is not very good. So you have to adjust, you know. You have to adjust expectations. Mauricio Arena says, it's been 2 weeks. Come on, Quickly. Tankathon is on. Where's the defensive focus? Yeah. The defensive focus, I think, can wax and wane. This was a better game for stretches because, like, Mo Bamba was the starting center, but he only played, like, 13 minutes. They just, the 76ers shot 56% and hit 24 threes. For anybody who is listening at home, 24 threes would be the record for some NBA teams on how many threes they've hit in a game. Like, it might seem like just another Raptors game where they lose. But this, for Philly fans who watched this, it probably felt like kind of a special game, a special night, because they banged triples like crazy in this one. And defenses, at least they typically find that defenses can control for volume of three pretty well. You can design a scheme to force teams off the line, make them, you know, dribble downhill, make them go to secondary options, that kind of stuff. But it's hard to control really for 3-point percentage. So did the Raptors do a good job of controlling for Philly's volume? No. At 43 attempts, not necessarily. Did they do a good job of controlling for their percentage? No, definitely not. However, this is kind of a pop-off game for Philly. you make 24 threes, you shoot 56%. That's kind of where you're at, right? That's a lot of threes on really high efficiency. That's why, you know, that's why everything is where it is. Mauricio asks, can we sign a center with size and a power forward with size? There are two of them, and they currently have not working hands. Scotty Barnes is a power forward with size. Jakob is a center with size. And also, Jonte could be a power forward with size, depending on how, you know, if Jakob was healthy, if they ever played together, or if Kelly Olynyk and Jonte played together. But Jonte is currently under investigation for the betting situation. So, and the Raptors, like, who could they sign? I guess they could, like, use, instead of it being Kobe Simmons, that they use a 10-day on, instead of it being Jamias Ramsey. They could, like, honestly, they could use 10 days to cycle through bigs if they wanted to. But honest, if as far as, like, their scouting department and what they think, they probably just don't think any of the bigs are compelling. And they'd rather than being a stopgap for the last, like, 9 games this season, they'd rather get a look at some of the guard and wing players that they think could actually contribute next year when their front court is healthy, when their front court is, at the very least, like, Scotty, Jakob, and Kelly. Jonte, I don't know. Nako the Nacho says they could resign Koloko for next season if he's healthy enough. Yeah, that certainly could happen. And on top of that, he just has to be okay. And he has to be, you know, in a healthy enough state to play basketball. We will see, honestly. I wouldn't hold your breath on it, though, because that stuff is pretty scary as far as, like, what Koloko's had to deal with. Marcus Aurelius says the Raptors' defense in general is bad, and they have problems defending the perimeter. Yes, it is definitely bad. Their rotation is, their starting five is Javon Freeman-Liberty at guard, who was not even an above-average defensive guard at the G League level. That's one. They have Gary Trent Jr., who is a below-average defensive guard, as the other guard. They have Grady Dick, who is certainly a below-average defensive forward. They have Bruce Brown, who has been well below average defensively this whole season, whether it was on a good team in Indiana or on these Raptors. And they have Kelly Olynyk, who has never once, nobody has even mentioned for a second that he was, like, a vaunted defender in the front court. This is the starting five. The guy who came off the bench to play 30 minutes, Jordan Wara, not known for his defense. Not known, like, it's... That's where we are. This team is not good enough for, like, it's depressing. That's kind of where it is. You have to, like, look at this team and you have to try and enjoy, like, the small flashes with Grady. And this is not me preaching. If you don't want to enjoy this stuff, it's asking a lot of fans to enjoy this much stuff, to watch hours of this much stuff. So it's not preaching. The Raptors, they should field a better team than they currently have. Some of that is due to injuries, of course. This team would be a lot more watchable with RJ, Emmanuel, Scotty, and Jakob. Like, definitely. But as it stands, this team is playing really bad basketball. They play within scheme. It's like, that's what it is. Mauricio says, depressing, it's an excuse. Defense needs to be a priority. Here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. Defense is a priority. However, I'm sure I played yesterday in the Raptors Republic 3-on-3 tourney. A couple times I guarded a guy that was better than me. I prioritized defense. I did. He took me off the bounce and he scored. That happened a few times. Defense can be a priority, and you can also be a team that is fielding rookies and a host of below average defenders, very little athleticism on the floor, and that's what the team is. And the team has been ran roughshod. Anybody who even sniffs being an above average defender is injured or out on leave. This is the team. It's frustrating, and that's what it is. You know? That's what it is. The players who are here are the ones who play, and the Raptors currently don't have very many players available. And they're not a team like the Houston Rockets, who when they didn't have players available, they had a guy like Jayshon Tate, who was like a 25-year-old rookie who was like really gritty and willing to guard. They didn't have like those types of guys. The guys who are trying to make this team mostly bring the pop offensively. And that's not because they're a part of the Raptors organization. That's not because Darko told them, we don't care about defense, focus on you. That's because all of these men here have been working on their games their whole life, and they came to this moment, years and years of practice, years and years of playing, and they're not good at defense. That's where it is. You know, they scored 120. There's some good offensive players here. They've practiced their whole lives, and they're better on that side of the floor. Some teams, the makeup of it, the wrong guys get injured, it's going to manifest the other way. This Raptors team, it's manifested this way. There's Jingpeng says, got to focus on the bigger picture, folks. It might be bad for a while, but hopefully the overall direction is in good hands. Don't miss the forest for the trees. I don't blame people for being frustrated. I don't, you're watching bad basketball. 13 losses in a row. The only thing is, sometimes there isn't an answer that works. That's what it is. Sometimes there isn't an answer that works. Sometimes there is no easy answer. Sometimes there isn't a way out. The Raptors, for this 9-game stretch, there's not a way out. The only way is through. And they got to go to battle with the guys who are available to play. And those guys, on average, are worse than the guys that they're playing against. Them's the breaks. Marcus says, the Raptors, even with healthy RJ, IQ, Scotty Barnes, and Jakob, are still less talented than the starting lineup of Siakam, OG Barnes, Shooter, and Poeltl. Team will be bad next year. I do agree with that. I'm waiting to see what they do in the summer, because they will have some money. I don't know if they try and spend big. I don't know if they try and get like a couple different pieces. But yes, the difficult part was that Siakam, OG Barnes, Schroeder, and Poeltl was a little bit expensive for what they were achieving. And that's kind of where we were. But yeah, I do agree. Like the starting lineup is worse. The team got worse. And the team was underperforming and it still got worse. But yeah, it's kind of, you know, that's what it is. VanHoot2234 says, didn't Batman have a saying about it's darkest before the dawn? Perhaps this is like the Bane situation, where we are being born through the darkness, molded by it, shaped by it, to become strong as a team. Perhaps, you know? Jingpeng says, yup, lol, there isn't, luckily, lots of good basketball still going on. If you have love of the game outside of the Raps, hopefully you do. And yeah, glad to keep talking about the team. For anybody who wants to watch good hoops tomorrow, there is, because in the women's game, in the NCAA, they play 4 years. You got Juju versus Paige. You got Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese. Like that, going back to that, big basketball tomorrow. And especially like if you're aware of the women's game, some good hoops there. And if you aren't, I don't know, dabble tomorrow. See if you enjoy it. It's big games. Like they're going to draw millions of viewers. But as far as like if you want to watch good basketball, you got to do League Pass, honestly. That's kind of where we're at. The Raptors aren't a very good team right now. They lost 13 in a row. And so I hope people don't think I'm excusing. I am simply diagnosing. I am diagnosing. That's what I feel like I'm doing. The Raptors are like an immensely ravaged, injured team. This is largely why they are that way. Before they were injured, they were also underperforming. Agreed. What was said about it at that time was that everybody's going through the changes of the team. There's no consistency, all that kind of stuff. They were underperforming, 100% correct. Prior to all the trades, they were underperforming, 100%. However, where we are currently, and everybody I felt like agreed that they were underperforming. There's been a lot of underperforming this year. However, at this point in the season, you just got to call it like it is. This is not a good team. If you saw this lineup, you know, across the road, if you're an NBA team, then you're like if they imagine the Raptors played this team however long ago when they were a good team and they didn't beat them, you would be distraught. You would be like, how did we lose to this team? That's, you know, that's kind of where we're at. Marcus Aurelius says, have you heard about 7'8" center Olivier Rieu or Olivier Rieu going to University of Florida? I just, Liban tweeted out because he was playing in, you know, all the Canadian, like stars, up and coming players. He was playing, and yeah, Josh and Liban had kind of talked about him. I saw like two clips, you know, it's, that's where we're at with that. I don't know much about it. I like, once the season is over, I'm diving. And also, I guess Olivier will be more of next year. I'd look into it because I'm not a draft guy. I'm a beat reporter for the Raptors, so most of my attention goes there. But in the off season, we'll get like a lot of conversations about upcoming draft guys and stuff like that, where we can lean on the expertise, not of me, but of the scouts that I know, you know. Slug DZ says that was really, really bad. Yeah, I did, and that's kind of funny. I didn't say pretty on the intro, like the introduction for the podcast, because it was, you know, that's where we're at. Mauricio Arena says, Samson, the MD diagnostic analysis doesn't justify the lack of depth. Aura, Abaji, our G League scrubs, cut bait clean house. Yeah, I think that Ochai, if he hits threes, is an NBA player. As of right now, he's injured. And before that, he was not hitting threes. And I have openly talked about how I've been disappointed with Ochai since joining. And that, like, the threes, His defense, I think, has been, like, NBA level for a wing. And he's been able to stick quite a few difficult players. But that is not enough to keep you in the NBA. What's keeping Ochai in the NBA is the fact that he can play defense and he has a history coming into the league as a shooter. He was really incredible at Kansas. Tremendous. You're waiting to see if that comes around. That's what's keeping him. The potential. On the floor impact, not good. Yeah, agreed. Wara, the Raptors are trying. It's kind of the inverse. They're like, okay, the offense we feel good enough about. But as far as the defense, there's a long way. And then also, on top, like, this is what I wrote about. I wrote a piece on Wara where I said, you know, it seems like he hasn't played well enough to make his continuation with the Raptors a no-brainer decision that they say yes to. It feels like he's downstream from the decision the Raptors make in the summer about Gary Trent Jr. So he had an opportunity, Wara did, where he could have played well enough on both sides of the floor to make the Raptors say, like, yeah, this is somebody we definitely stick with. This is somebody we keep around. But he hasn't been compelling enough. So I do agree with your sentiment about being disappointed with Wara and Ochai. I do get that. But I don't feel like G League scrub, like that level. They both do things at the NBA level. They both need to improve. And that's kind of like where we're at. Marcus Aurelius says, at 25 going on 26, do you really think Wara can learn to play defense? Better to cut him in off season when his contract is up? I am not confident in his ability to like learn defense, or that like the Raptors will be able to like impart this wisdom onto him. I think that if he were with the same system over a certain amount of time, that familiarity can improve, like that can improve anybody's defense. Would it improve it to the point where you're like happy with it? Probably not. And this is just me watching Wara, like how he defends and the history of defense at the NBA level. It's tough to just make that jump. And as far as like cutting him in the offseason, yeah, I'll just reiterate. I think that his contract decision exists downstream from Gary's for the Raptors. Coco asks, will we hear from Trey about draft stuff? 100%. Yes. We'll be talking about the draft prospects again. So yeah. And Coco says another like very good addition. End of bench guys aren't going to be what makes or breaks the team under normal circumstances. 100% correct. If an end of bench guy can help add something, anything for like a third of the season, you've won it. That's a huge deal. And you get different times, like different runs of play from different end of bench guys throughout the season. We've seen this from the Raptors in the past, and not even from like necessarily end of bench, but like even Corey Joseph was like a really tough half of a season. We saw that happen with John Salmons. You get like 14 good games. You're like, nice, John Salmons is bringing it. But the motivator, game in and game out, is Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. The Raptors do not currently have a Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan. Kyle Lowry was on the other team tonight. They have all the end of bench guys like Grady, Bruce, Kelly, Gary, Javon. Grady would not make, you know, like a contender rotation. Not close. Bruce, if he's back on form, sure. Kelly, he might get cut out of it depending on the matchup. He might get into it depending on the matchup, but he's not for sure. Gary could get cut. Like, it could happen the same way with Bruce. You know, that's what it is. Nameless says we can blow right past the 16-game losing streak record. Yeah, that's nasty business. You wonder if the guys come, if a couple of the guys come back before that happens and they make an earnest attempt at it. Nameless also says we're about to set a new 21-game losing streak easy. That would be pretty gnarly, man. I can't pretend to know exactly how the rest of this season goes, but that would be gnarly. Van Hoot 2234 says, do we have enough developmental runway to allow Ochai, Wara, and Grady and GTJ plus a potential wing slash guard from the draft? I don't think so. This is why I wrote about it at the very start of February. It was like the gunner role on the Raptors, and why I think that Gary and Wara, the Raptors, they shouldn't have both of them no matter what, to start next season. It just does not make sense to me. If Grady, you find a contract that both sides are happy with, and it's not like crazy, well, I guess that's couched into both sides are happy with, then I think it makes sense to keep Gary because the players love him. He's a great like representation of professionalism and all of this kind of stuff. That's the intangibles. He also shoots the ball pretty consistently. And the other inconsistencies in his game, you're probably not paying for the potential anymore, and his contract I expect to be lesser than it was. So as far as like, you know, it'd be a little salary cap, like CBA pervert, you know, if you're trying to like pinch pennies, players' pennies and stuff like that, those considerations that the team will have, he could be quite affordable. And so if Gary's affordable, it makes more sense to keep him than Wara. And if Gary, you're just not able to find any common ground, and his expectation is, you know, for himself is a lot higher as far as terms of like, you know, possessions, money paid, all that kind of stuff, then you can look to Wara. But I think like having, especially next year when Grady gets like a lot of time to work on his body, work on his cardio, keep getting reps, having Grady, Wara, Gary, it just doesn't make sense to me. And that's before, as you say, like they very well, and Ochai, they very well could draft like a wing or a guard. If the best player they think is in the draft is available, then why not? And yeah, head to head, Ochai and Wara, I think it's easier to see Ochai fitting in on like a good NBA team if he just shoots a three. And guy, it's easier probably for Ochai to get the three on track, given his track record, his history, than it is for Wara to suddenly start defending at an NBA level. I think that's more achievable, if I had to guess. But this is just a lot of loose thoughts. You know, MSJ says, Samson, is JFL a part of the team next year in your opinion? I find him kind of fun to watch. If I had to guess, no. But I wouldn't be mad at it. He is kind of fun to watch. Some of his driving is really fun. It's the playmaking that the Raptors have been really disappointed with, because they did give him a lot of reps at the G League level. It didn't really go well. And then on top of that, like, it just, we're not seeing a lot of it at the NBA level, even less so. And he is like a one speed guy. There's not a lot of tact to the way he attacks out of like these ball handling situations. And that's why he's so like prone to like a quick, nice run in a game, but kind of floating the rest of it, or just like running these primary actions where the ball gets stuck and he has to reset. is like every once in a while he'll find that edge. He'll be able to attack it like four times in like a 9 possession span, and it'll be like, nice, a good run, but it's still not justifying the amount of possessions he gets, really. So that's kind of where we're at. He doesn't score the ball incredibly well. He can score it at the NBA level, but the playmaking is just kind of stagnated in a place that I don't expect them to be on the team next year. Luke Philpott says, while the season is decided already, what are some of the more nuanced trends you are watching closely? Nuanced for me can be like really esoteric and stupid. So maybe just like, I am watching closely how Grady handles in the pick and roll. I'm watching Grady's bailout passes above the break. I'm watching how Grady aggressively looks for his own shot. I wish he got more than 8 up tonight. Although some of them, he really was like just gunning, getting the ball up quick. And as far as the above the break shooting, just percentage wise, looking for that to come around a little bit more. Hit one tonight. Out of the pick and roll. Was a nice shot. I liked it a lot. That's some of the stuff. I have coming into the season, I wondered how Gary would kind of comport himself in Darko's system. In a system where when Gary had his best playmaking span of his Raptors career, like a 2-3 week span where he's averaging 4 assists a game, a lot of it was coming out of corner offense, handoffs in empty side actions where he drew a lot of attention, he made the laydown pass. That is something I've stopped paying attention to really, but I wondered if Gary might be able to, if ever, he might be able to like make a step as a playmaker, but that just hasn't happened. Like he had 2 assists tonight, I get it. He's a gunner. I think Gary is a gunner, and I think he thinks that too. And like, he's a good enough gunner to be in the NBA and get like a handsome sum of money and enjoy that, man, and like play that role. But that's a nuanced thing I really have stopped paying attention to. I was paying attention to Jontay Porter, kind of his defensive decision making and how he played out of the short role. That was nuanced, but I should have been looking even more nuanced into his off the court behavior, or how his alleged off the court behavior played into the alleged on court behavior, etc. What else am I looking for? That's where I'm at. I was paying a lot of attention to RJ and Quickly and Scotty, and they all stopped playing, which means that all of the big pieces I had planned are off-season pieces, which is fine because it means I get to like take my time, and it means I also get to like really dig into the stuff. But when they're all sitting on the bench, nobody, like, if I wrote the big Scotty piece right now, like, if I revisit, like, the pick and roll stuff, nobody cares. He hasn't played in forever. It has to be, like, when everybody can be excited about him playing again. So that kind of stuff will be summer stuff. So, yeah. Fans have been robbed of some good basketball, more fun basketball. A writer like myself, a talker like myself, I have been robbed of some of the things I wanted to write to pad out the rest of the season. And also people don't want to read game stories, really. And also, like, access to players is worse than it's ever been. So it's harder and harder to tell stories without having it be like these truncated, you know, Frankenstein's monsters types of things where you're just like smashing in quotes and you really are like twisting yourself into a pretzel to tell a story that you wanted to tell before the game, instead of like noticing what's happening and getting to talk to like guys and ask them interesting questions. And so it's like, you know, it's just the stuff I want to cover, you know, it hasn't gone as well. Cause like the very least I moved to Toronto to like be able to talk to guys and tell like kind of more interesting stories and that kind of stuff. But at the very least, the backbone of that is like, I can like slump into the analysis stuff really quickly. But then the analysis stuff is like, who do fans want to read about on this team? Grady, which, yes, I write and talk about Grady quite frequently. But like Scotty, Jakob, RJ, Quickly, all those guys, none of them are playing and haven't been playing for a while. So yeah, that's kind of where we are. VanHoot2234 says, do you think the access will ever improve again? That is pretty much reliant on the Professional Basketball Writers Union, or maybe they call it something different, and their ability to put pressure on PR. Because for me, if I'm like, I want this to happen, there's no motion there. It has to be, you know, what's the, this is going to be another time. VanHoot2234 says you have a union. It's an association, the PBWA. It's not like, it's an association that communicates with the NBA about access and, you know, behaviors and regulations and all that kind of stuff. But Robert Baratheon, he says, you know, which is stronger, 5 or 1? And he goes, and it's obviously, for the people who are listening on audio, I'm doing 5 fingers out or a fist. And he says, the one, the fist, 5 together. I, by myself, I could create no change as far as like access. But Lewis is saying, we're talking PBWA. But if we want access to be better, there has to be like a coalition. There has to be a united front where the PBWA and the decision makers at the top end really ride for everybody to have access and like a lot of access. So yeah, that's kind of where it's at. So I don't know what access will be like, but honestly, do I expect it to improve again? No, because like I've talked about this before, but the players have less, it's less important for players to like be friendly with media and to like have good relationships with media and all this kind of stuff, because players can just like speak to their fans and like get their messages out however they want anyway. And it's different. And I love well-written editorials. I love when a player can collaborate, you know, or give themselves to a writer and that writer can kind of turn their story and imbue it with like their perspective and the contextualizing everything like that. And we really, I think we as a society, we collectively miss that stuff. And I think typically players are more likely to represent in talking with fans or using their platforms to represent their own business interests and to represent their interests as a brand. Now that's also clashing with, of course, the fact that like journalism and coverage of Black athletes has been like caked in racism and all this kind of stuff for a really long time. So you're getting rid of that to some degree, because also players as brands can act in their own disinterest at times too. But it's just, I wish we had a shot at like the happy medium where well-intentioned writers who have rid themselves of like some of that prejudice and stuff like that, you know, they were able to imbue the stories with their perspectives, contextualize, tell unique stories, unique angles, connect cool things, all that kind of stuff. And players would trust that. But if you're a player, why would you trust it? Because there are some journalists who really can do that. But there's a lot of journalists who just do not handle players' names and stories with care, or the care that they should. So it's tricky. I don't think access is going to improve. Aubrey Losojo says, I haven't been here in so long. How's it going, Samwise? We're doing good, man. Thanks for popping in. We're going to end it here, pretty much. Coco says, this is across the board in terms of journalism and criticism right now, too. Certainly. You know, nothing supersedes the bottom line. And yeah, we all know how that goes. I'm not going to harp on about it. I've been doing navel gazing or adjacent to navel gazing talking for like 6 straight minutes. A basketball question before we get out of here. MSJ says, so the never-ending question it is for me, who is going to be the backup? JFL maybe, he's a hooper, but if not him, who? Free agent, draft? I think that player is going to be signed, if I had to guess. I do not think it will be Javon Freeman Liberty. And I like Javon, but I talked about him for, you know, a bit. But I don't think it'll be Javon. I think they will sign their backup point guard for next year. Aurel Osoho says, thoughts on AI journalism? Burn it down, man. I do not like AI at all. I got the Dune tattoo here. the Butlerian Jihad, destroy any machine that mimics the thought of man. Spitting Frank Herbert. Killing it. I'll leave it there. I would just say, kind of like how, you know, like, roads are a public good that we all pay for. Like that kind of stuff, right? Everyone benefits from it. I wish that AI, if it was to be used, was heavily regulated and also used only for the collective good rather than used for like a capitalistic pursuit. Because if you allow AI to like absorb people's job and their work, then it is only ever serving like the very small wants of those who own the AI and are able to like steal people's thoughts and like harvest human identity to sell AI. And so people who are also existing in that 1% can use AI to underpay and can use AI to descent upon everybody, all that kind of stuff. That is not a public good. And that is how it's used. Oh, I don't like it at all. You know, actually, you know, Aubrey Los Ojos says Samson Marx. Marx actually has a quote about this. I don't remember what cult. I read the collected works once, but I don't remember exactly. But he had worried way back when about machines, if not used properly, will only exist to descent upon the power of labor. And that's like, we don't have to think about it like machines, but AI is certainly being used as a cudgel to make it like, well, if you're going to do labor, you have to do more. It has to be more exhaustive. You won't get paid the same. You have to do more work because AI is doing the stuff that, you know, all that kind of stuff used to do, and is doing it for free. And that represents the interest of a very small little group of people. Yeah. Lewis says you actually finished Das Kapital. I read Frederick Engels and Karl Marx, the complete collected works, and you know that. All right, everybody. I can't wait to see who unsubscribed. All right, that's like, why am I talking about this, man? This is absurd. Sorry to everybody who was like, hated this. Yeah. Thank you to everybody for listening. The Raptors lose again, 13 in a row. We're talking about Das Kapital. Oh, man. All right, everybody. Whether you got into this in the morning or at night, have a blessed day and goodbye.